gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Say particularly Monday. 6 minutes after the hour.
Yeah.
Best Jim Ward call-in sick excuse ever. It was?
His eyes hurt.
What?
He also has...
Not second best of when he was late because there was frost on his windshield in L.A.
Yeah. Well, he also had a fever of 103.
Okay.
So that...
All right. Oh, well, that... You didn't say that.
Okay. But his eyes hurt, too.
Okay. We wish Jim Ward's
yes,
eyes
we do.
Well. And yet we will soldier on. The Rude Pundit coming up in a half an hour. Eric Bollard from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World. And Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yes.
Still pulling it out on a Monday, ladies and gentlemen. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Wow, speaking of sexy liberals, guess what? A couple of breaking news announcements. Coming to Philadelphia Saturday, we have two special guests. Opening for us, the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, Betty.
Take a step, step, yeah. Take another step, step, honey. Take a step, step, yeah. Take another step, step, honey. Take a step, step, honey. To the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Coming up from New York to open for us, and then a special guest on panel, the Rude Pundit.
Right.
The Rude Pundit will join us for panel.
And for those of you not familiar with Betty, like, you know, outside of the New York area.
Well, then you're stupid.
Well, they did the theme song to The L Word.
Yes!
So,
they've done all kinds of stuff. They're awesome.
Well, right, but for national audience, they did the theme song to The L Word.
Yeah, and much, much more. Yeah. All right. So Philly, by the way. First up, Philly or
Philadelphia,
not.
We progressives hold these truths to be self-evident. That all sexy liberals are created equal, and that we are endowed by the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, laughter, and the pursuit of silliness. On February 4th, 2012, the comedy tour that is taking the country by storm will perform live at the Merriam Theater, featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the tastiest of all tasty cakes, Stephanie Miller.
Yummy!
Tickets are available online at KimmelCenter.org or by calling 215-893-1999.
Nine, nine, nine.
Philadelphia, come show your favorite progressives some of your brotherly love. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on February 4th at the Merriam Theater. Philly, these liberals will be sure to ring your Liberty Bell.
Thank you, Philadelphia.
Love this is sexy, huh? Hooray!
Yay! Okay, so very special show, and tickets going fast, only very few left, so hurry. Lots of, I heard the Twitter machine was a fire this weekend.
Yes,
it was.
Lots
of folks taking the train up from New York or D.C., et cetera, et cetera. So, yay! All right, and because it's not Super Tuesday, but it's another primary tomorrow, Florida.
That's a big primary. Florida's a big state.
Yeah. Damn it. Mitch pulled ahead to a 15-point lead in the, is it the NBC poll?
Yeah.
Come on! Newt! It's really... You know me, I'm a Newt girl now.
I know you are. I am, I'm a Newt girl, too.
I go back and forth like a slutty teenage cheerleader.
Like a minx.
Newt, Mitt. Just whatever makes it go on longer and bloodies them both up. It's getting good now. It really is. It's the establishment. Sarah Palin, Herman Cain in the Newt camp. Herman Cain's just...
Boy, they know how to pick winners.
Herman Cain, did we know that he has a little problem with fidelity himself?
Well, just
first he was like with Stephen Colbert and I endorse the American
people
or some crazy... And now he's, I endorse Newt Gingrich now. He may end up making 999 endorsements by the end of this. You never know.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah, it's just, it's the whole, I think, but you know what? I'm not sure that helps him. He pretty much has the whole serial adulterer vote sewn up, I think. But the cool thing is we're starting to see the dark side of Newt.
Coming tomorrow on CD and download, the long-awaited 47th remastering of Dark Side of the Newt.
They don't support the empty suit.
Looks like Miss Cruisin' for a Bruisin', Franklin.
By playing games with toothless racist hats. Got
Got to get more money in my pack, frankly.
And you want to come to right next door to Newt. I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.
There is no dark side of the moon, frankly. So there are no food stamps, frankly.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. All right. So, yeah, it's getting nastier and nastier, though. Newt said he's going to stay until the convention, to which I say yay. Newt.
Let's give the boy a hand.
You know, shockingly, Chris, Sarah Palin's endorsement not very, what's the word I'm looking for? Articulate?
Right.
Articulate. Have some word salad, Newt.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. This is from Politico. Newt Gingrich has a new unofficial campaign surrogate. Her name is Sarah Palin. Gingrich getting that raw deal, don't you know, from the national media conservative elite. The same forces she thinks conspired against her.
Right.
Conspiring meaning notice that she was a big dope, completely unqualified to be president.
That's what I noticed.
Yeah. Palin hasn't endorsed Gingrich, has made no official role, but she's repeatedly surfacing like a big dope.
Yeah.
Look at Newt Gingrich, what's going on? I don't know why. I just love reading the actual words because they're still. Look at Newt Gingrich, what's going on with him via the establishment's attacks. They're trying to crucify this man and rewrite history and rewrite what it is that he has stood for all these years. Rewrite history, meaning implying that he's a serial adulterer that's left a couple of sick wives at least and was run out of town on a rail on ethics charges?
Yeah.
That kind of history? You mean like reporting history exactly the way it happened?
And that nobody who worked with him back in the 90s is endorsing him?
Yeah.
That kind of thing? Okay.
But in order to educate the rest of the American public, I'll articulate that it is hypocritical of the... First of all, Sarah Palin said, I'll articulate.
Yeah. Which is... That's like jumbo shrimp.
Mm-hmm. I'll articulate that it is hypocritical of the media to subscribe to one candidate and not another, that kind of angry attack muffin verbiage to one and not the other. Oh, she's talking about Peggy Noonan calling Newt an angry little attack muffin.
Right.
Well, Mitt Romney is another whole group of really awful things.
Yeah.
But just not angry. But angry attack muffin does not probably apply to him equally as Newt. I mean, we'll get to the whole awful other kind of thing that he is, including being a giant liar. This is my favorite piece this week. And where does it? The New Yorker? The headline is New York Magazine, excuse me. Why, yes, Mitt Romney does lie a great deal.
Yeah.
He seriously does. Just, you can take one any given day in the campaign trail and he's...
Yeah,
just lies.
He's lying.
Lying liars, yeah. Mm-hmm. The first time that Palin would ride to Gingrich's rescue was a radio interview with Sean Hannity. I'll just read this verbatim, too.
All right.
She was speaking of the media. I call them dumb arses. Oh, isn't that clever?
That's
a quip. That's a Sarah Palin quip. Trademark. They thinking that by trotting out this old Gingrich divorce interview, that's old news, and it does feature a disgruntled ex claiming that it would destroy his campaign. All this does, Sean, is incentivize conservatives and independents who are so sick of the politics' personal destruction because it's played so selectively by the media that their target, in this case, Newt, he's now going to soar even more because we know the game now. We just won't put up with it. Good call, media, she quipped.
He's not soaring even more. He's dropping like a rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
After Chris Christie dubbed Gingrich an embarrassment at the party, she warned Christie not to get his panties in a wad.
Yeah, we played that audio.
She's so high school, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay there, fatty, don't get those big panties in a wad. Don't you know? And then she said, poor Chris, that was a rookie mistake. He played right into the media's hands. Oh, I see. Well, see, at least he's serving his full term as governor.
Yeah.
So, in terms of rookies, someone that's kind of a half term would be technically more of a rookie.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. And then she's talked about Rick Perry getting out. That was a good thing. I think what Rick Perry having... God, this is just not even English. I think what Rick Perry having dropped out and that Patriot having done well for the front runner, whom I will call Newt Gingrich now, being the front runner, having endorsed him was a good, smart move. Seriously? Okay. Can you see you screamed? I read exactly.
Yeah.
There's no... It's like once again, a Scrabble board has exploded. It's like a jumble of
right.
prepositions and things that don't really...
Can I give her a little tip?
Yes.
She's obviously saving money by doing her own hair. So why doesn't she take some of that money and hire a copywriter? To go over it.
Right. Diagram a sentence or two.
Before she posts it.
Yeah.
That would help us out a whole lot.
Exactly. Just saying. Okay. When we come back, Romney's blind trust, as it turns out, not so blind.
Not so blind?
Yeah, slightly astigmatic. A little bit nearsighted, but not really so much blind, which in fact would be part one today of Mitt Romney.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
You're a lying sack of crap.
That's just this
You're
half hour.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Turn it upside down. Love to hear.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World has been making solar panels right here in the U.S. of A. since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar.
That's right.
Rude Pundit coming up right after the bottom of the hour. Also joining us for a panel this Saturday in Philadelphia. Yay. All right.
Yay.
So, I don't know why I... You start to suss out with that when Mitt Romney speaks that he's probably lying, but it normally takes a second because he says things so, like, you're like, seems like that might not be true, and then, of course, it's fact-checked and turns out to be. You might want to load the liar cannon.
All right.
Yeah, Romney's blind trust, not very blind, slightly nearsighted, as it turns out. Not really, yeah.
What's it like to be a liar, huh? You like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
So you remember this from the debate. Romney profited from thousands of Florida foreclosures through a Goldman Sachs investment fund.
That's right.
He disclaimed any responsibility or knowledge of his own investments. You know, it's this whole blind trust thing. I have no idea. I can't see.
All of my money is in a big cave behind a vault door, and I swim in it every day, just like Scrooge McDuck.
Yep. You find that scene every day with the dollar bills everywhere. Yeah. All his friends over.
Doing a swan dive into a pool of gold doubloons.
All those scamps that think progress. Last August, Romney filed his legally required public financial disclosure report. From at least the time he completed that form, it ceased to be a blind trust, and he knew what was in it. Romney's comments suggest that the trust was blind for 10 full years before that. It was, in fact, not.
Computer says no.
During his unsuccessful 2008 presidential bid, gosh, you just forget how long he's been running for president sometimes, don't you?
And he keeps losing.
It just seems like it's always been that way. Romney, I know, I was talking to Lisa this week, and he's like, boy, how much money is he spending to lose? I'm like, he's going to spend a lot of money and lose again.
Yeah.
It's what he does. It's his bag, baby.
You think he'll get the hint this time that America doesn't want him?
Just don't like you. Romney disclosed, so during his unsuccessful 2008 bid, he disclosed the assets of his, quote, blind trust in his August 2007 filing. As a result, the trust ceased to be blind then as well. Think progress saying it strains credulity. Which is another way of saying load the liar canyon, to suggest Romney didn't know his money was likely in Goldman Sachs between 2007 and 2011.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
If and you ain't the granddaddy of all liars.
Yeah, it's my favorite headline. New York Magazine, Jonathan Chait. Why, yes, Mitt Romney does lie a great deal. Even for a politician, some great lines from it. It seems to me Romney makes factual, specific claims that are false all the time. And he goes on to just a bunch.
Yeah.
For instance, because a lot of times it's not just flip-flopping. I mean, he is a soulless flip-flopper, but my point is, a lot of times it's just blatantly lying.
Right.
For instance, when first asked as a 1994 U.S. Senate candidate about records showing him voting in the 92 Democratic primary, Romney said he couldn't recall for whom he voted. Then Romney told the Globe that he voted for Paul Tsongas because he preferred his ideas to then-opponent for the nomination, Bill Clinton. Later, he added that it was proof he was not a partisan politician. Yet in 2007, While making his first run for president, Romney offered a new explanation. He said he voted for Tsongas as a tactical maneuver aiming to present the weakest opponent possible for Bush.
But that's not what he said before.
Right. Which is my point.
But that's not what he said since.
My point. My aforementioned point.
So he goes flip to flop, back to flip.
Yeah.
Wow, that takes some doing.
You could call it flip-flopping or lying, really, either way. These are just a couple of examples plucked from the last day of campaigning. There's an endless supply, large and small. Romney's whole line of attack against Obama rests upon facts that are verifiably false. Even by standards of politician, Romney seems unusually prone to dishonesty.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, New York Magazine. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay. The president yesterday.
The American people are going to make a judgment about, you know, who's trying to bring the country together and who's dividing it. Who is, you know, tapping into some of our worst instincts. And, you know, that's ultimately going to be a judgment for the American people.
Like, for instance, let me just say Arizona.
Yeah.
Exhibit A. Obviously, the tragedy of Gabrielle Giffords. Many, many people think it has to do with a lot of this, the toxic environment, you know, and the kind of, and the targeting, you know,
sure.
Crosshairs on her face that Sarah Palin and others put there.
Yep.
Then you have Jan Brewer sticking her finger in the president's face.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of an unprecedented show of disrespect to the office of presidency. How about this? It's Arizona moron alert. Skeeters on roids edition.
Skeeters on roids?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From the New York Times, shot up image of the president draws a Secret Service inquiry.
Oh,
out of Phoenix. The
I
Secret
saw this one.
Service, yeah. Said Thursday it was looking into a photograph posted on the internet that showed a group of young Arizona men posing in the desert with guns while holding up what appeared to be a bullet-riddled image of President Obama's face. The photograph showed seven casually dressed young men, four of whom clutched weapons and one of whom held up a T-shirt covered with small holes and gashes bearing the likeness of Mr. Obama above the word hope. Way to go, Arizona. Good job again.
Stay classy.
Stay classy, Arizona.
And one of the guys was wearing an ASU shirt. I'm like, oh,
no,
really?
That's your
to?
Alma mater.
I
really?
Know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, geez there.
Oh, geez there, huh? Okay. All right. The president, once again, on the
I think
injury.
Whether it's Romney or Gingrich or Santorum or any of these folks, the question to ask them is, we now have the lowest tax rates in 50 years. And if, in fact, we're going to reduce our deficit while still investing in those things that we know make America grow, somebody's got to pay for it.
Yeah. I you know what? I'm already getting anxious. I can't wait for the general the general campaign.
Yeah.
It's I have never, honestly, I have to say, I've never seen the Republican Party in such disarray.
Right.
It is really, especially now, and our friend Eric Bowler wrote another great piece, as usual,
mm-hmm.
but about how this is what Fox News has wrought on the Republican
Absolutely.
Party. This complete splinter now that you see between the establishment and the Tea Party, and it's too late. It's going to be, I believe this year is going to be a disaster for them no matter what they do, and I couldn't be sadder about it. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, his rudeness, the rude pundit, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Stephanie Miller.
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Elizabeth in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Steph. How is Brad? I'm not supposed to ask how you are.
Well, who really cares? I'm as best as be expected as for being me. But go ahead.
I am just calling to see what your thoughts are on them pulling in some last-minute person like, let's say, Jeb Bush, and turning it all around and making everyone go, woo, let's beat the president. And
yeah, I mean, we keep hearing these rumors about a brokered convention, but I just am not sure how likely that is. And I don't know that this party can be united at this point. You know what I mean? I think he's more establishment, isn't he? I mean, he's exactly, they've split into two camps, right? Tea Party and Republican establishment.
It is just a real big fun thing to watch.
It sure is. All right. Speaking of big fun things to watch, well, hello.
It's Lee Poppeth, the rude pundit. Pundit.
And by big, I, of course, refer to your manhood. Good morning.
Well, thank you. I would be embarrassed if it wasn't true.
And Rude Pundit, as I mentioned, bringing that big manhood to Philadelphia.
Sweet.
To join the panel for Sexy Liberal at the Merriam Theater. Very, very exciting.
Yeah, and it's been a long time since we've snuggled in public.
Can I just say, you did the very first like experimental Sexy Liberal we did in New York 1,000 years ago. You did panel, and you were so hilarious and filthy. It's hard for this show to get filthier, but you indeed will make it filthier, my friend.
Well, they don't call him the Rude Pundit for nothing.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
No. We have restrictions here. And you know what? The other thing is I love hanging out with you when we can both talk dirty.
Exactly. But no, it's the radio show with no FCC. And he did the filthiest riff on Ronald Reagan I've ever heard in the history of words.
Well, thank you.
It was hilarious.
I appreciate that. There will be more.
Okay. Yes, I know. You'll be bringing it. Oh, by the way, for New Yorkers like Rude Pundit, I'm told Roland, our tour director, there's a 10. Look at him checking train schedules for all y'all. There's a 10:44 p.m. Amtrak back to New York after the show. The show ends at like 10 or so. There you go.
Does he know
people
the train?
Coming, lots of people coming from New York, D.C., as well as obviously Philadelphia.
Yeah, what's the last?
And Jersey.
What's the last train out to D.C., though? Does he know that? Because we have a station in D.C.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
And where are all the Newark people at?
Newark, where are you at? All right, Rudeness, your Arizona stuff, once again. As your post says, your state sucks. Arizona is filthy with holes. Of course, we refer only to the Republicans.
Yes. Because, except, you know, as I say, the motto of Arizona is we'll shoot your Democratic ass right out of Congress.
Yes, right. You said, so it was that Jan Brewer, governor in Arizona, an ill-prepared debater, yes, there's that, met President Obama on the tarmac of the Phoenix airport after Air Force One landed. Instead of greeting him with a gift basket of iguana jerky, cactus liquor, and rocks with googly eyes on them, as is the custom here, Brewer handed Obama a handwritten letter that she said was about immigration policy. One might imagine the crayon scrawled note says something like, Mexicans is bad, except for tacos. Help us get rid of Mexicans, but leave the tacos. Give us money. At the bottom, there was probably a yes and no box for Obama to check.
Yeah.
I think that's probably eerily accurate, Rude.
Well, especially when she said, I love that there was no copy of the letter that she could give out, and then all of a sudden,
she found a copy.
We had a copy. It was a handwritten letter. Who'd have known that there was a copy? I must have used carbon paper.
Yeah, carbon paper, like people do so often these days. This may be my favorite Rude line ever, which is, that's saying something. You say the president apparently mentioned that her description of a previous meeting was, to paraphrase, kind of I've never heard that used as a adjective, you know.
Well, you know, anytime you can use a C word that in a way that is adjectivial, which isn't a word, but
adjectivial.
No. And neither is.
Let's make it a word. I love that.
Yes, I'm getting Palin-esque right now. I'm creating words.
Boy.
Yeah, I think that it should become more commonly used, especially when referring to the actions of Arizona lawmakers.
Yeah, and her book. I guess you had the courage to read. You said Brewer's book reads like it was ghostwritten by Sean Hannity while he was taking a. Which, technically Mark Levin would have to be taking a ghost for Sean Hannity.
Because
I get your
because
point.
Mark Levin writes all of Sean Hannity's books. Sean Hannity doesn't know how to write.
Right, but I think that that the idea would be that. This could be scrawled out. Actually, it'd be funny for Hannity to be sitting there in the toilet with Mark Levin down at his feet dictating it to him, which is the way I think that most conservative talkers operate.
Yes, you did have corn. All right, so now.
I mean, Rush Limbaugh only sits on a toilet in his studio now. He doesn't have a chair. He doesn't want to have to make the trip. He's Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, dear. And I know you meant this part about the State of the Union as a joke, but I kind of liked it. You said it might have been better to just toss Bin Laden's rotting head in John McCain's lap and say, that's what you get when you're not afraid to go into Pakistan, bitch. I think that... I would have enjoyed that.
Yeah, it would have made his point a little more concisely. I didn't like the end of it. I didn't like the end of it with killing Bin Laden as metaphor for how we can all come together and accomplish something. Because you know what? Who's going to argue with you about the killing?
But that's why I thought it was so smart politically, is they didn't know how to react. They were like,
it was jujitsu.
Exactly.
It was turning their weakness. What is it?
Yes. We know what we mean. Okay.
Turning their strength into a weakness.
That's it.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes.
I love your take on Mitch Daniels regarding creepy ass Mitch Daniels staring at us like a mellow version of the screaming dude from the Munch painting.
Monk.
Monk. Sorry, the Monk painting. Yeah, he's just creepy.
He is. He's creepy, and he's one of the reasons why we have the economic crisis, since he was Bush's, you know, budget director.
Yeah, that's why I didn't watch it. I was like, Bush's budget director? Click.
Yeah.
What do we care what he thinks?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And who's enmeshed right now in a big controversy in his home state over collective bargaining rights for state workers. So, you know, yeah, he's really got a lot to advise us about the economy.
Yeah, exactly. Think Progress we mentioned earlier, a scamp. Look at you. You know how to use the Google machine. Here's a September 19, 2007 UPI headline. Gingrich lobbies for health insurance plan. The first line in the article, former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich Wednesday lobbied Congress to support a health insurance measure, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, again, in these ongoing man fights between Newt and Mitt, that one you had to give to Mitt. Yeah, who are you kidding? You weren't a lobbyist, right?
Right. And if you want to talk about, this was something I didn't put in the article, so this is an exclusive research point for you.
Wow.
Is that, yes, Gingrich can say he was officially not registered as a lobbyist. But when Gingrich talks about what citizens can do, he says all the time, citizens can lobby their members of Congress.
Because
in his own rhetoric, the idea of going and speaking to members of Congress about an issue that you agree with is lobbying.
Right. And as you say, a normal person is not going to get a congressperson to take their call. Newt Gingrich, I'm sure, has everybody's number, and anybody would take his call. That's lobbying. They're paying you for your influence, for your, you know, access, right?
Right. Nobody's paying Newt Gingrich because they think he's fun to have around.
Yeah.
They're paying him because he's Newt freaking Gingrich.
In fact, I bet you people list him in their cell phone as Angry Little Attack Muffin. Siri,
like
to, call Angry Attack Muffin.
I would love to think so, or just, you know, bastard.
Bastard person.
And when he calls you, what
bastard
comes,
calling.
Yeah, what comes up?
Bastard. The word bastard.
Yes. Awesome.
As you say, everyone knows it's lobbying, and why does that matter? Because that means Newt Gingrich is a bought and paid for corporate whore. He's just one of those chatty whores who wants to talk about his kids before he's here. You only listen because of
the worst
so
kinds,
good.
By the way.
Uh-huh.
Just advice to the
chatty
kids out there.
Yeah.
Sure. As you say, the rude pun is not proud about this. Romney landing a blow that actually rattled Gingrich, gave him a momentary thrill, I guess I can say a bit of wood. It was fleeting, yes, but damn, it's sweet to see someone punch that white-domed phlegm globule right in his cash sack.
Once again, pure poetry, Rude.
Right?
I'm in awe.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, and that was the thing, is you're sitting there and you're watching Romney and you're going, yeah! And then you're going, oh,
ooh,
that's Romney. And then you're going, yeah, but it's also Newt. And
I get the same kind of, I get girl wood when he punches Mitt and lands a punch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It really is beautiful just watching the two of them go at it. I can't wait for a couple of months from now when Gingrich is finally going to have to drop out and he actually says that Romney should thank him for staying in the race for so long and making him a tougher candidate.
Yeah, yeah. He says he's going to stay. So that was the news this weekend, right? He's going to stay until the convention.
Yeah, yeah. He's taking this thing all the way. So this is either this last great egotistical move by Newt Gingrich, or it's just going to be scorched earth everywhere. And it's beautiful. You're right.
It is beautiful. Well, I think, but you know, Rude, I know you've said this from day one. You always say it's going to be Romney. It was always going to be Romney. But I don't know. I mean, we're going to talk to Eric Bullard after the top of the hour. He wrote a piece that, I mean, this is a pretty serious fissure in the Republican Party, don't you think? That is, you know, I mean, look at the way it's splitting off now. You know, I saw even Meet the Press. Who was it? Fred Thompson is, you know,
right
on Gingrich's side, and the other, you know, who was it? Sarah Palin, Herman Cain. I mean, you know, all the Tea Party crazies, of course, are with Gingrich.
Yeah, but you hear this all the time. You heard it last time when it was the Obama Clinton people, that it was, that was going to be a huge fissure, and people were, and people on the left were, and there are still wounds today in in the Democratic Party over it. People so upset with the
not here in Happy Clappy Land. I want him to do the switcheroo so Hillary can be vice president and then president for 8 years.
Oh, I'm all healed. I agree with that, but that I just saw a unicorn go by. And
farting glitter.
But so I think that's another kind of trying to create tension where there's probably not as much as there. Once the convention comes and they realize, well, crap, we got to settle on our dole this time, that they're gonna that it's all gonna go away, and it's just gonna, they're just gonna have to suck it up until 2016, when that's when Christie or Jeb Bush or whoever else can run.
Right. Well, you know, but Rude, everybody that makes this analogy and goes, oh no, no, you know, we had a really competitive primary, as you just mentioned, with Obama and Clinton. But I keep saying the big difference to me is we had two spectacular candidates. That's why it was so competitive and went on so long. These are a bunch of ass clowns. And I'm just saying.
But the sad part is that, from the right-wing perspective, they actually kind of think they have two people that could possibly beat Obama.
And I hear a lot of freaking out and nervousness in the right-wing world, so I don't know.
Oh, but I mean, I'm talking about among the people on the ground, not the people in the know. The people in the know, they got to know that this is just lost. There's unless they have some white knight, and I mean that in the sense of white.
Yes, really
in,
white.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ride in the convention, and then the convention goes berserker, but they nominate somebody like Christie or Jeb. Then there's a possibility for a game changer that affects the election at large. But if they got to go with Romney, it's over, and they all know it's over. And that's the thing that I said, that I've been saying, is they knew it was over from the moment that the candidates were set, the candidates running for the nomination were set. It was done.
Yeah,
they lost the election.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. But boy, it just, the more it goes on, the more entertaining it is, and the more they're just bloodying the bejesus out of each other.
I know. And we all thought that, you know, if Sarah Palin didn't get in, we'd have no fun. Herman Cain drops out, we'd have no fun. Who would have thought that this gift would keep on giving for so long?
By the way, can you make your entrance at Sexy Liberal in Philadelphia on Chris Christie? Could you ride him in an entrance?
Like, it's like riding a mastodon?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sure. It'll be like, like riding in on an elephant. Like Hannibal. That's what I'll do. I'll ride in like Hannibal on an elephant.
Okay, just asking. All right, Rude Pundit, see you Saturday night in Poison, honey. Can't wait.
All righty, bye.
All right, there he goes.
Great.
Yay. Oh, God, he's hilarious on stage. Seriously, you can imagine. No bleep button, no. Just pure filth. Yay! 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters joins us for Right Wing World.
Yes.
After the top of the hour. And then Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz next hour to talk about the big Florida primary tomorrow and the delight that is the Republican primary. Yay. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, come on, Newt. Get up, you angry little attack muffin.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney may be on his way to a decisive victory in the Florida primary tomorrow. According to an NBC Marist poll, Romney leads Gingrich by 15 points in this one, 42% to 27%. Frothy the Santorum third at 16%, followed by Ron Paul with 11%. If Romney pulls off a victory of that magnitude, he could be on a glide path to the nomination, according to this NBC story. But there are warning signs for the Republican Party that the primary has taken a toll on Romney. And the rest, which is what I was just saying to Rick Pundit, and the rest of the GOP field. Each of the candidates struggles in the general election matchup with President Obama in this swing state, especially with independents. Newt, all the way to the convention! Woo!
I hope so.
Here is Mittens.
I just feel like things are going in our direction. I'm hoping for a big turnout on Tuesday, and I think we're going to win here. I sure hope so.
Mm-hmm.
That was decisive.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Gingrich campaign accused the Romney camp of packing the debate audience.
Yeah.
Boy, he is awfully whiny, that Gingrich, when things don't go his way. I think by the time this is done, he's going to end up on another New York Post cover with in a diaper. Following Monday night's NBC News debate, Gingrich complained about Brian Williams' silencing of the audience. And then after the second debate, they accused Mitt Romney's campaign of packing Thursday night's audience like some kind of Republican establishment Snickers bar.
Yeah. Packed with Phoenix.
They definitely packed the room, said one. Oh, I see. So those people were loud, but not in the right way.
Right.
I see. So they weren't the hooting racist crackers that he had in South Carolina,
so the
I guess.
First debate was too quiet. The second debate was too loud.
Yeah.
All right. He seems to be.
Have you noticed that how much I flip flop in one conversation? I'm for both of them, really. I just go back and forth.
Sure.
In what has become a wildly unpredictable race, the momentum swung back to Romney. This is yet another poll from. Where is this one? This is the same one, NBC Marist. I gotta say, this is a roller coaster ride after South Carolina. I mean, the storyline changes almost daily as to, you know, who has the momentum and yada, yada. Oh, so this here's the new Romney technique. Is they're sending surrogates to Gingrich's campaign stops.
Yeah.
To remind reporters of Gingrich's health ethics probes and other episodes in his career. Gingrich reacted defensively, accusing the former Massachusetts governor of a political committee and a political committee that supports him of lying and the GOP's establishment of allowing it. Oh, that's true. All of it. Mitt is a big liar.
Wow. It seems like Newt's campaign is really falling apart. Newt is smart. He's a smart campaigner. He won, you know, whatever. But he needs to get out in front of all of this.
Yeah.
He can't let this go on at his events.
He said, I don't know how you debate a person with civility. This is Gingrich.
Right.
I don't know how you debate a person with civility if they're prepared to say things that are just plain factually false. I think the Republican establishment believes it's okay to say and do virtually anything to stop a genuine insurgency from winning because they're afraid of losing control of the old order.
Yeah, he's just coming across as a very weak campaigner now. It's bad.
Gingrich said, when we get to a positive idea campaign, I consistently win. It's only when he can mass money to focus on carpet bombing with negative ads that he gains any traction at all. That part true as well, though.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they'd left him for dead in Iowa. Mitt Romney.
We allowed him to lead our party. What happened 4 years later? Well, he was fined for ethics violations. He ultimately had to resign in disgrace.
Yeah. By the way, did you see there was a story on the Adelsons? This is the Vegas guy and his wife that are bankrolling Gingrich pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I know why now. Because they're hoping he'll bomb Iran.
That's right.
Wouldn't that that's why Gingrich was out saying the thing about Palestinians are invented people.
Yeah.
You know, like sprites or fairies or leprechauns. Because the Sheldon Adelson is a big Israel guy.
He's big on Israel bombing their neighbors.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that's pretty much what that's all about. Yeah. Yikes, $10 million for that so far, right?
Yep.
Mitt Romney.
This last one, Speaker Gingrich said he didn't do so well because the audience was so loud. The one before, he said he didn't do so well because the audience was too quiet. This is like Goldilocks, you know? You got to have it just right.
See what you did there?
Oh, that was kind of cute. That was, for Mittens, that was almost close to a joke. Somebody else wrote that.
No, he did. He has no sense of humor whatsoever.
Yeah, but that was almost like delivery, like that he didn't flub for a change. He's out of, I feel momentum.
just because his delivery is improved?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Senator John McCain.
A desperate candidate is a candidate who attacks someone who succeeds in the free enterprise system.
Oh, yeah. Yikes. They've unleashed the Grampy McSame.
Oh, boy.
With that same pleasant demeanor that we remember so magically from the 2008. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, and we should, by the way, this is actually good news. Speaking from the hospital room where he said his ailing 3-year-old daughter is making a miraculous turnaround, Rick Santorum said he will resume his campaign today.
That's good news.
So that is good news. Absolutely. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we return with Eric Bollert. Another great piece from Media Matters, and we will do Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Maybe Newt only does want to go to the conventions for the hookers and the buffets.
Yes.
Who can say? And why criticize? 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, we love our tweeters.
Yep.
1-800-STEP-12.
That came from Gabe. Thank you.
Thanks, Gabe. 1-800-STEP-12. Gabe.
Yes.
1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang, he's stepping into the Jim Ward breach today. He's on his way to the New York studio. Jim Ward. Best call-in sick ever, and we've had a few from him.
Yeah, he said his eyes hurt.
Awesome. All of us are wishing Jim Ward's eyes.
He also has a pretty high fever, he's going to go to the doctor and get that checked out.
Okay, we want him back.
I just hope the fever doesn't make his eyes explode or anything.
I can't believe on the day there's a his eyes are not going to explode.
Okay.
All right, Sexy Liberal in Philly, tickets going fast, I'm told, because we have two special guests, the official girl group, the Stephanie Miller Show, Betty, will be opening for us, and Ruth Pundit joining us for panel. It's going to be a par and then a tay.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, so tickets going fast. I know a lot of people asking if we're coming to D.C. We just don't have anything scheduled just now, so take the train from D.C. or New York or Jersey or, you know.
Whatever.
All right. Oh, and Albuquerque, also going fast, March 31st. Hurry, hurry, hurry on that one as well. And thank you for making us the number one album once again this weekend on Amazon.com.
That's right.
All right. You know what? I just, am I getting kind of like fangirly when I'm like, oh my gosh, Eric Baller. I quote him the whole first hour of the show.
You're getting kind of clingy.
So Eric said, and then this one time he wrote this thing about Eric Baller from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Eric, I will get through a sentence without saying Eric Bowler says. Sorry. Even just your tweets, because I was just mentioning the article about the Adelsons, they have obviously far-right interests in Israel, is supporting Gingrich. And you write, imagine Glenn Beck's caliphate freakout if a Muslim-American billionaire bankrolled a Democratic White House campaign.
Yeah, and I also mentioned, imagine Pam Geller.
Yeah.
Imagine what she would do. She was behind the so-called Ground Zero Mosque and the hate rally she hosted, and Fox News went berserk over the Ground Zero Mosque. And so, it would be interesting to flip the coin. What if a Muslim-American billionaire was essentially bankrolling a candidacy? This is what this casino owner magnate is doing with Gingrich. Gingrich would not be on TV without this guy. And that's the new campaign laws. If you want, he's got, I think, $20 billion. I think the number is astounding. And there was an interesting piece, I think it was a journal last week, Wall Street Journal, saying he was willing to spend tens of millions of dollars just to keep Gingrich in the race. We've never seen anything like that. And all the articles you read, very strong ties to Israel, et cetera. And so it would be interesting. What would be the right wing reaction if a Muslim American billionaire were writing some prominent Democrat, $15 million worth of checks? It would be the end of the world. But nobody's really freaking out on the left. I mean, you should know what his politics are and what probably he's expecting from Gingrich. But there are no hate rallies or anything like that.
Well, we should at least understand, Eric, that this is not the normal American friend of Israel. This is friend of Israel. Oh, by the way, would you mind bombing around for us? Kind of friend. That's the
very
kind of
hawkish,
would you mind burying the hooker I killed? Kind of friend. It's a little more. a little more than friendship. And then you also tweet, oh, look, Obama's approval hits almost 50% in a new Wall Street Journal poll. Remember last fall when mainstream media meme was always doomed? Yeah, we never hear good news reported, do we, about the president?
Not so much. It was interesting, when the Gallup poll about a year ago, it dipped below 50%. That was literally, it was headline news, not just Drudge, but the mainstream press. And oh my gosh, when he went to 39% in some of the major polls, days and days of chatter and how can he possibly be reelected? But now you see all the polls are moving up. The economy seems to be improving. And we've talked about this before. When the Dow goes up, the Dow's almost at 13,000. you would never know it unless
right.
you check it every day.
Right.
It's almost doubled since, you know, Obama's first year in office. You would never know it from any of the coverage, and you would never know that his approval rating in some polls is up almost 10 points this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the piece I've been quoting my this morning, Eric Ballard says, it's your fabulous piece, How Fox News is Destroying the Republican Party,
yes.
which is nothing but good entertainment for us. But just so, you know, what you say is so great, so clear. You say it's becoming increasingly clear that Fox's programming and the radical fear-based agenda it's setting for Republicans is now doing lasting damage to the grand old party. T and then a he. But so true,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone agrees, even conservatives admit this primary has been a bit of a fiasco in terms of who the candidates are, you know, how they rise and fall in a matter of days, and now there's a clear infighting. And just so everyone knows, this is the Fox News primary. This is a Roger Ailes production. As the New York Times, I think it was last month, reported, you know, they basically operate the Republican primary. And everyone agrees the first Fox News primary is a fiasco. Why? Because they have put their stamp of complete unseriousness on the primary. Everyone has to bow down to Fox News, so all the candidates have to, you know, be on this level of the sort of fifth or sixth grade Obama-hating, Obama derangement syndrome level, and you cannot run a national campaign. Yes, you can whip up 3 million Fox News viewers. Yes, you can whip up Rush Limbaugh with that kind of language. You cannot have a sustained national conversation about the country. Sixth graders.
You go right to it in this line. It's relentless paranoid crusade falls well outside the mainstream of American politics, which is why the Republican primary season, so proudly sponsored by Fox, shaping up to be such an embarrassment. I think, and you know, I'm sure you're sniffing the fear and panic and desperation that I think it's dawning on them, right? How do you see this?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you see this playing out? This whole fissure now between the establishment and the Tea Party.
Well, you know, I don't think it's going to last very long because I don't think Gingrich is going to survive very long, no matter how many seven-figure checks he's going to get from Las Vegas. He's probably not going to stick around for enough contests to make this, you know, a truly Tea Party versus establishment race. You know, whether that anger will linger in terms of the Tea Party members and the far, far right who are watching the Drudge Report, their beloved Drudge Report, turn into, you know, Get New Central. Drudge just went bonkers last week. Just virtually every top link, you know, was straight from the Romney camp. So I think there's some eye-opening going on, and it's fun to watch. And people are, you know, now upset with Ann Coulter and upset with National Review that they're being mean to Newt Gingrich.
But as you point out, you know, so rightly, it's, you know, this is what they wrought. You say the truth is the Republican establishment all but ceded control of the party to Fox and Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, then when, you know, as you say, Fox News often hysterical, they followed their lead as they unveiled an unprecedented effort to demonize and delegitimize the newly elected president. And now this is what they get, right, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
After the McCain sort of fiasco, the Republican establishment, the RNC, was completely demoralized. They sort of slinked off stage, and into the vacuum came Roger Ailes and Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, and they had a lot of, you know, they were not shy about this "we hate Obama" stuff. RNC can't really do that, and so there was this vacuum, and Fox News swept into it. They said, "We're going to lead this party." And there were some obvious short-term gains. I mean, the birth of the Tea Party movement, which Fox News marketed and created, the midterm elections, all those were successful. But now, again, the crazy has overcome everything else, and you can't sustain that crazy for a national conversation. And nobody within the Republican establishment will stand up to Fox News or stand up to Rush Limbaugh. So they're on this train, and it's jumped the tracks, and there's nothing they can do. When Rush Limbaugh and, you know, it was Glenn Beck, but, you know, now it's Sean Hannity or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they are the face of the Republican Party. You can't win national election.
I love the way you describe it. The movement marches itself off a cliff. Toonsis is driving the Republican Party these days.
Absolutely.
And then you quote that great David Frum quote, "Republicans originally thought Fox worked for us. Now we're discovering we work for Fox."
And I didn't realize he said that 2 years ago.
I know.
I mean, he was pretty early, and they just haven't gotten the message because they're so consumed with this Obama derangement syndrome. They are so hooked to this hate rhetoric that they can't take two steps back and say, oh, that is destroying us as a national party.
I have an Exhibit A for you in Right Wing World. Let's dive in. So now the chairman of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus. I had one right after my Chrysler Cordoba. But yeah, Reince Priebus uses rhetoric like this on Face the Nation.
I think it's good for America. And in the end, in a few months, this is all going to be ancient history, and we're going to talk about our own little Captain Scatino, which is President Obama, who's abandoning the ship here in the United States and is more interested in campaigning than doing his job as president.
What did you just say? What did you call President Obama?
I called him Captain Scatino, you know, the captain that fled the ship in Italy. That's our own president who's fleeing the American people and not doing his job and running around the country and campaigning.
Mm. Wow. Wow, that's clever.
You know, if you're going to write these zingers and then you have to explain them to Bob Schieffer, it's probably not a very good zinger. You probably should go back
Eric, trust me, the best comedy is always the kind you have to explain. Very, very long explanations. Yeah. That was clever. The guy that ran into Italy and then abandoned the ship and killed a bunch of people. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. And you know what? They're still pulling bodies from that that wreckage. So that's not something you joke about right now.
The basic tenet of comedy, tragedy plus time. Somebody didn't tell him that, Eric.
Yeah.
The basic.
No, again, this is the derangement syndrome where nothing is out of bounds. And some, you know, they had a committee sitting around the RNC, and that's the clever tagline they came up with.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. Eric Vogel remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters joins us to continue Right Wing World. Oh, you know what? They're just grasping for anybody they can. Now, apparently, Rick Santorum's the guy.
Yeah.
According to Steve Doocy.
Well, Mr. Spectacular, Rick Santorum is going to be with us live 7:15, just about an hour from now.
Wow. Mr. Spectacular. Wow.
Wow. You could just go down the list. I mean, they have just, you know, not only is Media Matters details, do they set aside an extraordinary amount of time for all the candidates to come on and talk and raise money, et cetera. But, you know, and they've also spent an extraordinary amount of time trying to get other people in the race, whether it's Chris Christie or whatever. So, you know, it's just inevitable that Santorum would get some sort of star treatment at Fox. It's what they do. It's why they exist for this campaign period.
I mean, in what universe is he Mr. Spectacular?
In what universe was Mitch Daniels, was a star born?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it was his response to the State of the Union. Everyone thought it was a bit of a let down, but of course, the next morning, Chris Wallace announced that a star was born with Mitch Daniels. So,
remember previously we would never get over the sizzle that was Tim Pawlenty. Okay, Eric Bolling on the five.
There's a whole black market for food stamps. I love, like it or not, but people are trading in their food stamps. Bob, go on the street. You can trade in food stamps.
What percentage of the food stamps do you think are fraudulent? What percentage do you think are fraudulent?
I don't know. 20? 10, 20, what? Who cares? Don't hold me to it. I wouldn't bet you on it. But the point
I think you'll probably find that it's a very small, small percentage.
The point is it's up 45% under Obama.
We've been in the middle of a big recession.
Oh, I thought things were getting better.
Wow, what a huge glob of non-journalism.
Yeah. Well, you know, Fox really did adopt in the last week or two calling Obama, you know, the food stamp president, picking up right from the Gingrich campaign rhetoric, which is another key way that Fox is sponsoring the primary. So they echo whatever the Obama attacks that emerge from the campaigns. But, they've been playing, you know, fast and loose with all kinds of information about, you know, food stamps. The fact is the eligibility in the last couple of years has been greatly expanded, so therefore more people can get food stamps. But, you know, there's something ugly going on, you know, calling Obama, you know, the food stamp president.
Yeah.
And Fox News is definitely happy to do that.
Well, and particularly as you sort of allude to, it was expanded under George W. Bush.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
Anyway, Greg Gutfeld on the five.
So it was expanded. A big recession came. Voila. Yeah, more people are going to be using
Yeah. Exactly. Greg Gutfeld on the five.
Food stamps are necessary, but what they're becoming is the liberal alternative to currency. It's just another way to guarantee an entitlement class because they will vote Democrat, knowing they get
them. What do you mean by that? When you think they go in the
they're
old days
support...
where they buy booze and cigarettes and stuff? They're not
I good. Would.
Wow. You're right. That's the talking point, huh?
Yeah, and it's very retro. I mean, this is very Republican, almost 1980s. You know, Ronald Reagan and the famous welfare queen fiction that he was spinning. You know, there's definitely this idea that poor people, you know, are living large off food stamps and buying booze and cigarettes. It's definitely a flashback. We haven't heard that line of attack in almost a couple decades, but it's like this greatest hits no one wants to hear anymore.
Everything old is new again. All right, Stephen Moore on Fox News.
The unions have lost a lot of political battles in key states like Wisconsin and Ohio, where a lot of the pension benefits have been cut back. And then, of course, Megan, this week, as you know, Indiana was the first state in, I think, 10 or 15 years to pass a right-to-work law, which is like putting a cross in front of a vampire. I mean, the unions hate that idea.
Wow. I think they ought to just wait a minute on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, you know, assembling 1 million signatures in the state the size of Wisconsin isn't exactly a defeat. And Ohio, they completely, you know, fought back any attempt by, you know, the Republicans there to do damage to labor laws. So, I mean, that's the spin from like 9 months ago. You know, there's this great victory against the unions, but as the story unfolds, the victories don't seem so great anymore.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and Angela McGlowan on Fox and Friends to explain to us once again, it's liberals that are racist.
It is the rhetoric, and that's what liberals do. They do race baiting and class warfare, and that's what Obama's doing. He's a warrior for the middle class, but people need to look at his policies, not what he says, not about hope and change. What has he done?
Yeah, there he goes playing the race card again, Eric, by being all, you know, black.
Now, did she say he was a warrior for the middle class?
I think she did, actually.
Yeah, I would put that on a bumper sticker. That's
yeah. Yes, thank you, Angela. All right. Eric Bowler,
you,
great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
There he goes, Eric Bowler. Real quick, Shauna in Virginia. Hi, Shauna.
Hi,
go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to let you know what my sweet husband did for me for my birthday last Friday.
What's that?
He not only bought me the StuffCast bling a year in advance, but I'm such a dweeb, I can't figure out how to use it yet, but I will figure it out. But he also bought me a meet and group ticket for Chicago for March.
March 3rd, Chicago, that's going to be a party.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. And I hope you put out.
Two kids in college there, so that's why I'm going there instead of Philly.
Awesome. I hope you put out for your sweet husband. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Way to go. Good girl. Awesome. Get it. Go, girl. 29 minutes after the hour, Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think I'm getting dizzy from your wine.
Stephanie Miller.
I think I'm getting dizzy from your fine.
Oh boy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, who better to talk to in Florida before the Republican Florida primary than Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Good morning, Chairwoman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you, as always.
So nice to be with you as well. And I have to say, I wanted to spoon you last week. You were so amazing, you know, during the Gabby gift. That had to be so difficult for you, being such a close friend of hers. And, boy, that was a tough one to get through. But you did a great job.
Thank you. She's amazing. So, I mean, really, the selfless act of stepping aside, knowing that she needs to focus on her recovery full time, and make sure that her constituents would get full-time representation was just another example of how incredible Gabby Giffords is. And I know she's going to come back, and I'm so proud of her. And I was, you know, just as proud to be able to stand with her on, as she went through that very, very difficult experience.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. What a week we had. You know, we were talking about that, and also, you know, the House unanimously passing her bill, obviously. And
yeah.
I just thought, boy, that scene, you think, is this what it takes to have some actual bipartisan cooperation and people really being human beings as you know, people on both sides of the aisle were during that, you know, that day? I mean,
it is really unfortunate that, I mean, even today, this morning in Politico, there's an article about the death of bipartisanship and the fact that there's really no such thing anymore as a willingness or an ability on, at least from my perspective, from the Republican side, being willing to sit down and compromise and work together, because they are so focused on one job, you know, Barack Obama's, that they just don't really want to sit down and reach across the aisle, because they know if they do, then, you know, President Obama might get some credit, and then that might make it less likely that they're successful in November, and so. It's,
you know,
really a cynical approach to governing, and very sad.
Yeah, I mean, Geraldine, I can't tell you how many, you know, what we got so much reaction here in talk radio. Just the dichotomy between that is both coming from Arizona. I mean, that scene on the House floor, and then this picture of Governor Jan Brewer with her finger in the president's face. And I can't tell you, you know, the whole. A picture says a thousand words, but the reaction people got just because of the, you know, the way they feel like this is just more of how this president has been disrespected. This, the office of the presidency has been disrespected to such a degree.
Well, I think it's always better for moments like that to speak for themselves, Stephanie. And I think the governor of Arizona definitely showed the difference between the amount of class that she has versus the class and grace that Gabby Giffords has. Gabby Giffords is Arizona's finest.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman, let's talk about tomorrow, so the big Republican primary. Are you enjoying this Republican primary as much as I am this year? I mean,
you know why I'm not enjoying it? I'll tell you. Because I'm, as a Floridian, and I'm here in the state of Florida as we speak, as a Floridian, their extremism, their callous disregard for undocumented immigrants who've been here for generations, who are just here trying to work hard. These are people, many of whom pay taxes, who are productive members of our society, and who simply want an opportunity to be able to have a path created for them to legally remain in the country, which is why comprehensive immigration reform is so important. But the Republican field, led by Mitt Romney, Stephanie, I mean, Mitt Romney really thinks that, you know, 11 million undocumented immigrants are just going to line up and self-deport, you know, check themselves out of the country and go back.
Yeah.
And
although I don't know if you've seen, he flip-flopped on that, which I know is shocking, but
no,
he seemed to walk that back.
Let's not give him even that much credit, because he didn't flip-flop on it. He's hypocritically saying one thing to South Carolina voters,
right,
and trying to nuance his position on that issue, particularly with the DREAM Act, when he's in Florida. And that's why it's hard for me to rejoice in the circular firing squad that's going on their side, because when it comes to Medicare, for example, I mean, you know, we have millions of seniors here in Florida, and the entire field, led by Mitt Romney, supports ending Medicare as we know it, would pull the safety net out from under the seniors that I represent, wants them to be able to invest money in their Social Security in the stock market. I mean, how would that have worked out in the last few years, given the ups and downs of the stock market? So I think it's a dramatic contrast. And the Republican primary is giving us an opportunity to see that.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, how, you know, how many times can you say that? If we had privatized Social Security, for instance, when George Bush wanted to, I mean, imagine all of those people, millions of people.
And you know what, Stephanie? Since we're talking about Florida, here's another really clear example. We already have a governor, Rick Scott, who we elected when he was CEO of HCA.
Yeah.
He presided over the largest Medicare fraud fine in history. And Mitt Romney, turns out, sat on the board of Damon Corporation, also during a time when that company received the largest Medicare fraud fine in history, and essentially continued to serve on that board while that fraud was going on.
Yeah.
It's we already have experience with someone who thinks that was okay.
Yeah, I never understood that. Did they allow you to serve like work release for prison in the governor's mansion? I don't understand how he. But I can see why he's so wildly popular there.
Yeah. So going electing someone who let that go and allowed that to happen and allowed seniors to be taken advantage of. We shouldn't repeat on the national level by electing a president who was willing to remain with a company that took advantage of seniors.
Well, obviously you've seen the latest polls. It looks like Romney is pulling ahead by, I think the latest poll I saw, about 15 points. What is your take on what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
Well, certainly Mitt Romney should win Florida. I mean, he's spent more than $15 million here. He had the organization on the ground when the primary season began in Florida, just after South Carolina, early voting had already begun, and, a lot of those votes went to Mitt Romney. So if he doesn't win tomorrow, going away, then, it's just another example of the real concern that there is on the right, on his candidacy. That's why they've had such a soap opera that has existed in their primary season. But what's a little bit more interesting is if you look at the national numbers, Mitt Romney's numbers nationally have cratered with moderates and independents, because him and the whole Republican field are so extreme on jobs and the economy, on making sure that everyone has an opportunity to be successful. The president laid out in his State of the Union last week.
Right.
I was so proud to be in the chamber to watch him do that. Talk about the importance of focusing on bringing jobs here to America, changing the tax code so that we incentivize companies to bring jobs to the United States as opposed to the other way around. While Mitt Romney has championed making sure that millionaires and billionaires who are already doing well do even better.
And that's why
they're in pretty massive decline when it comes to the key swing voters.
And nice of him to release Exhibit A, his tax returns, on the day of the State of the Union when the debate in this country is about the 99% in income inequality right now. I mean, that's exactly the point, right? Nobody's accusing him of doing anything illegal. It's the actual tax code that's unfair, which is what the president keeps saying, that Mitt Romney's going to pay 13-14% and stash half his money in a Swiss bank account of the Cayman Islands, right?
Yeah, well, see, that's why releasing more than 1 year of his tax return is important, because just the release of that 1 year of tax return showed that he had a Swiss bank account that he didn't disclose on his financial disclosure. I mean, Stephanie, I've been in office a long time and have had 20 years of financial disclosure forms.
Right.
I can tell you that if I had a Swiss bank account, I wouldn't think it was okay for me to leave it off my financial disclosure. And what the heck does he have a Swiss bank account for in the first place?
Right.
I mean, if you know anything about Swiss bank accounts, I don't know much, but I do know that they're generally, their purpose is to hide something.
Right.
Hide
absolutely.
Something. We want a president of the United States who's been trying to hide his finances. That he should reveal his tax returns, release them, particularly from when he was CEO of Bain Capital, because he's hung his whole candidacy on his private sector experience as CEO of Bain. We need to see what his finances looked like when he was CEO of Bain.
Yep. Well, I mean, I was going to say, just when you thought nothing could make you look more out of touch than having a Swiss bank account, forgetting that you had one would be even worse.
And the accounts in the Caymans and accounts in Luxembourg and Ireland, apparently. I mean, all known havens to shield your income from being taxable.
Right. Well, I mean, there's obviously been a lot said, Chairwoman, about, the fact that the Democrats would prefer to run against Gingrich, that, the polling looks worse. But I honestly think they're both spectacularly awful in their own way.
I've said repeatedly throughout this whole election cycle that it really doesn't matter which one of them we run against. I mean, particularly, like I said, as a Floridian, when it comes to jobs and the economy, when it comes to focusing on the middle class and working families, when it comes to standing up for small businesses, I mean, or when it comes to focusing on the foreclosure crisis. I mean, remember, Mitt Romney said that we should just let the housing crisis hit bottom. And we shouldn't do anything to help homeowners remain in their homes. He's got a 54-point so-called economic plan, which doesn't have anything in it on housing.
Right.
That plays really well in the state of Florida for the constituents that I represent who are struggling to be able to remain in their homes. And we're talking about people who are paying their mortgage, but they're upside down in their mortgages because of the disastrous financial policies of the Republicans that President Obama inherited.
Yep. You know, I keep hearing this analogy that, you know, saying, oh, a long primary is fine. You know, look how competitive the Democratic one was the last time. I have to say, you and I, as people that were on opposite sides of that, mm-hmm. I remember debating you on TV.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you were pro-Hillary and I was pro-Obama.
And then we locked arms and debated together.
Absolutely.
On
there you are. And then yes. magically, I'm just saying, to me, there is a difference. We had two spectacular candidates, which is why it was so competitive.
We actually had more than two spectacular candidates.
Right. Well, I mean, ultimately,
any of us would have been proud to support them.
Yeah.
Joe Biden ran for president. Now he's vice president. Hillary Clinton ran for president, and now she's Secretary of State. So, all doing a remarkable job,
right.
which is the dramatic difference between the length of our primary and why it helped make sure that the Democratic candidate Barack Obama was elected president.
Mm-hmm.
What their primary has shown is how dramatically out of step their entire field and not ready for prime time their candidates are.
Well, but I mean, more importantly, before you go, Congresswoman, is my point is, in all my experience in politics, I don't know about you, I've never seen a fissure like this. I mean, this really is, I mean, you see this playing out even this weekend on TV, the Republican establishment versus the Tea Party. I mean, I've never seen this degree of, you know, you can mention, you know, these names on this side and these names on this side. They're just, you know, tearing each other apart, it seems, in unprecedented fashion, don't you think?
Yeah, that's because you've got extreme, more extreme, and unbelievably extreme running on their side. And it's why it's turning off moderate and independent voters. When you look at the general election polling that's being done right now, you know, polling doesn't mean a whole lot in January of the election year, but there's a reason that independents and moderates, which are the key swing voters, are taking a look at the Republican field and saying, you know what, these people are not in touch with my priorities. They're not in touch with the need to get the economy turned around and create jobs, or the importance of focusing on the middle class and working families, or standing up for small business, or making sure that we can make things in America again.
Well, you and I will just sadly stand by as they bloody each other unrecognizable.
And we're going to continue to organize and stand up the most dynamic grassroots presidential campaign in history while
Absolutely.
They do it.
Absolutely.
You know why? Because we have a rocking chairwoman. Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida. Thanks so much for your help on this important day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All righty.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yay.
Have I mentioned I love her hair?
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Voice Fox News.
You know
Mean Girls.
You know whose else hair I love?
Who?
John Fugelsang.
John Fugelsang's here. Yay.
Good morning,
Stepping
kid.
Into the Jim Ward breach for
yeah.
me. Can I say in how many years? We've worked with Jim 15 years. It's my favorite call-in sick excuse ever, John Fugelsang. Ready?
What?
He said his eyes hurt. Well, he also has a fever, like a pretty bad fever. So,
all right.
Yeah, but he's going to the doctor.
You don't want to be squinting on radio. That looks horrible.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, sexy liberal John Fugelsang, getting all revved up for the big Philadelphia show Saturday.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here between Philly and Florida and Debbie Wasserman Schultz being a fox. I'll tell you something. I live in Manhattan, so I love her because I got to go to Florida to hear a real New York accent. Oh, my God. Her accent is so hot.
It's
I can't
awesome.
Get over it.
She is awesome.
I love her.
All right, as are you, and we will. Now I've gone too long. We'll be right back with Mondays with
Fugelsang.
He's good any day. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to Mondays with Mugelsang.
All three Mugelsang?
In the New York.
Mugelsang.
He's filling in for Jim Ward today, whose eyes hurt. John Fugelsang.
Good morning.
Steps into the fray. Hello, sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
I got fray all over me on this show. My
yeah.
God.
We're getting very excited. So you've heard the big news. So the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, Betty, opening us for us in Philadelphia, and the Ruth Pundit doing panel with us.
Very exciting stuff. It's
yeah,
be
very
a fun
exciting.
Time in Philly.
Yeah, and tickets going fast, I'm told.
Yep.
You can get a train from New York, New Jersey, D.C. There's people coming from everywheres.
It's our only remotely tri-state event of the season. So, yes, if you're in New York or D.C. or Connecticut or Jersey, get to Philly this weekend. Do it
yeah.
for Rocky.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be a quad state? I mean, if you include Pennsylvania.
That's true. It would be a quad state. Okay. And we've invited Michael Vick to join us for panel two. We don't know if he's coming.
Stop.
Oh,
all right,
no,
now.
No.
Don't tell the biggest dog lover in the world. Don't know Michael Vick jokes. By the way, on evidence again this weekend, the fact that we have all the good talent on our side. Did you see Mitt Romney got John Voight's endorsement?
Oh, did I ever?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mitt Romney, the most awkward man in the world, apparently, he said he was saying, explaining to the audience he wasn't sure how to chit-chat with a famous actor. When he phoned Voight to ask for his support, Romney said he decided to talk about his kids. So, you know, famously, he's estranged, isn't he, from Angelina?
Indeed,
Jolie.
Yeah.
So he said, I started talking about my five boys. I said, you know, it's easier to raise boys than girls. After a long pause, he said, tell me about it. Awkward!
Oh.
That's funny because I trust John Voight's political advice exactly as much as I trust his parenting advice.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And then they brought Grampy McSame up to do a little stand-up, apparently.
Ooh.
Yeah. He, let's see. Here was his big joke. You ready, John? Noting the other dignitaries on hand, this is apparently his zinger. He's done this many times.
All right.
McCain said, I feel a bit like Zsa Zsa Gabor's fifth husband. I know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know how to make it interesting.
That's
a few feet away, Romney let out an awkward giggle. Romney got on stage and said, I thought we brought only one actor and comedian here today. Gosh, that was quite a repartee there, Senator. That was fabulous.
You know what?
It's the most awkward man in the world.
That wouldn't even be funny on Match Game 73.
Oh, it's so... these were like the rejected Leno joke pile jokes, but it's fantastic hearing him
no,
do it.
No, they're rejected Peter Marshall version of Hollywood Squares.
What do you want from poor John McCain? Do you want to hear him telling hack jokes or hugging politicians who hate him? Because I'd rather see that. Bush, Romney, what is it with McCain hugging these people who hate him?
Oh. That's awesome. And now, so we were talking about this earlier, John, that Mitt, they're sending people to Gingrich's rallies or following him to, you know.
Rather clumsily.
Yeah. You know what? You don't even need to spend the kind of Mitt Romney money. You could just have anyone follow nude. Have him send an intern. He'd probably, like, bang her and then kill her. Like, you don't even, you don't need, like, research people. Just, you know, the man has no character.
But when you roll out John Voight, it's clear that you plan on winning this election. I mean, come on.
Well,
yeah.
Didn't John Voight come to speak to us at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul? Do you remember that, Stephanie?
Yes,
I do.
Yes, he's quite the crazy train.
He's very
John
shiny,
Voight,
too.
He hates Obama exactly as much as he should hate his agent. It's beautiful to watch. And do you love hearing about how these Hollywood celebrities who just shut up? Can these Hollywood celebrities just stop with their political opinions? Let's ask John Voight, Victoria Jackson, and Chuck Norris how they feel about it.
Exactly. Mary in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mary.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good, so how are you?
Hear John's voice. That's just great. Listen, regarding Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I just heard on CNBC because I get the thrill of listening.
See,
to
your
them.
Accent is as hot as hers.
Yep.
Yeah, well, she's going to be on tomorrow together with God knows like five Republicans. Now, the thing is, I just heard it today, they are portraying him, certain shows, not all of them, as anti-business. Surprise, surprise. They love Mitt Romney. And, the Wall Street money is really leaving, I don't know, regardless of what the left says, it's leaving Obama. I'm telling you right now, it's going to Romney and any Republican. Wall Street's moving over, especially with the new investigation and whatnot. So.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to make the case that he is good for business. How can they think he's anti-business? It's obviously spin, right?
Yep.
He has been great for business. I mean, yeah, and the drag is Republicanism. I mean, we could be doing so much better if it wasn't for constant obstruction on the part of the Republican Party. They know it, they cause it, and then they use it as a boomerang right back at them. And some people will believe this, especially if they're hurting. You know, they haven't gotten a job recently.
Mary, there's only one thing that is going to help us take back America, and that is the Mary and Long Island radio show, and I will make that my mission in 2012. All right.
Yeah,
could you say 58 on. After, please?
58 after.
All right. Geez. Listen,
but
Randy Rhodes,
right.
How long can Randy Rhodes last? You know, we've got to have somebody ready in the bullpen. All right. Sexist Liberal John Fugel saying in the New York Bureau as we continue on
Hooray.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. Welcome to Monday's Mukulsang. John Fugelsang filling in for Jim Ward in the,
good morning.
The New York Bureau. Good morning, sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
I don't really do impressions. It's hard to fill in for Jim. You know, my whole career, I only did one impression. It was Mr. Sulu from Star Trek. And I would come out and I would say, "Hey, Captain, Ikaru Sulu, warp speed, Captain, photon torpedoes." And I realized it was also my Casey Kasem. So yeah. I'm a pale imitation of Jim Ward.
Listen, it can't be as bad as the time a few years ago a guy filled in for Jim and he only did one impression.
Horseshack.
Horseshack. And we were like, well, there's not really a call for that news-wise, but okay,
oh dear,
thanks.
No.
Yeah. All right, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook for sexy liberal pictures of sexy liberal John Fugelsang, who will be in Philadelphia along with Hal Sparks and I this Saturday at the Merriam Theater. Get it. Tickets going fast, and then check the schedule for all the upcoming shows. Betty, the official girl group, the Stephanie Miller Show, opening for us. Rude Pundit doing panel with us. It's going to be a...
Yeah. Shano in the chat room says today is Fun Days with Mugelsang.
Yes.
Very nice. We'll take that. We'll take that.
Yay.
Hey, I want to address what the last caller said about how Obama's going to be able to spin, that he's not bad for business. Here's the only argument the Democrats need to make. This is the president who saved capitalism. He's not anti-capitalist. He saved the auto industry.
Yep.
He voted for the bailout. He was the guy who gave us a stimulus that saved so many jobs, and he hasn't sent any of these Wall Street criminals to jail. You ask some of the far-left folks why they're angry with Obama, and it's because he did save capitalism, and that's the only argument the Democrats should bring forward.
Yep, and it's getting, you know what, it's just when we think we've lost one comedy binky, some of them come back, John, in time for Sexy Liberal, and some of them just show their dark side.
Coming tomorrow on CD and download, the long-awaited 47th remastering of Dark Side of the Newt.
The lunatics are all for Newt.
Frankly.
They don't support empty suit.
Looks like Miss Cruisin' for a Bruisin', Franklin.
By playing games, the toothless races hacks. Got to get more money in Newt's pack.
Got to get more money in my pack, frankly.
And if you want to condo right next door to Newt, you'll see him on the dark side of the moon.
There is no dark side of the moon, frankly. So there are no food stamps, frankly.
All right. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
That's so funny. There is no light side of Gingrich.
No.
I know. It's awesome. So, John, 15 points ahead, it looks like, Romney in the latest poll, right?
I know. You liberals have got to get out there. Change your registration to Republican and vote for Newt. What's wrong with you people?
Newt.
Do it for the comedians. Newt. Keep the man going.
No. Yeah, but what are the chances Jim's eyes hurt on the day that Tom Brokaw's in the news, for God's sakes?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, NBC has sent Romney a cease and desist because we have the ad.
Yes,
it features then Nightly News. Now,
Nightly
News.
Tom Brokaw. Stating some common accepted facts at the time.
On the Newcomer's ethical dilemmas.
Uh-huh. Good evening. Newt Gingrich, who came to power, after all, preaching a higher standard in American politics, a man who brought down another speaker on ethics accusations. Tonight, he has on his own record the judgment of his peers, Democrat and Republican alike, by an overwhelming vote.
Alike.
They found him guilty of ethics violations. They charged him a very large financial penalty, and they raised, several of them, questions about his future effectiveness.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Oh, God, I miss him so much.
That's the entire ad.
By the way, John, it's like this was written for Jim Ward, the Tom Brokaw's actual statement. I'm extremely uncomfortable with the extended use of my personal image in this political ad. I do not want my role as journalist compromised for political gain by any campaign.
How can it be his role as journalist and his personal image? It's his professional job. I mean, he has no say in it.
The
headline.
The Romney camp is saying it falls under fair use, so I don't know. We'll see. But
I'm inclined to agree. I'm agreeing with Romney a lot lately, which is really disturbing.
Apparently, the Romney campaign is meeting with NBC News today about the entire situation.
Meanwhile, my point is, I think Tom Brokaw is just with all of us now. I think he wrote that with more L's than normal, because he knows.
He knows. He listens.
He knows. Yeah.
My point is, we finally have a headline worse than Santorum is surging, which is Newt takes it to the base. That's pretty awful. I don't need to hear that.
Newtie, loading the liar cannon again.
You cannot debate somebody who's dishonest.
You just can't.
Wait, you're a liar, too. Boys, don't fight.
Yeah,
you're
that's
both
the first
liars.
Two Mrs. Gingrich is about debating someone who's dishonest.
This was the best news I got all weekend. Nudie.
I will go all the way to the convention. I expect to win the nomination.
Yes.
You just had two national polls.
Yes.
That show me ahead.
Yep.
Why don't you ask Governor Romney what he's going to do if he loses?
Yeah.
Since he's behind in both national polls.
Yes. Newt.
The meltdown has begun.
I'm starting my own surge. I'm surging without you. Come on. Here we go. Newt. Cordell in Kentucky, you're on with the Mukulsang. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. It's the official gay blog screenwriter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello now.
I got some fun facts about food stamps that I need to correct Sean Hannity on. First of all, when you're on food stamps, you cannot spend your food stamps on liquor, alcohol, or tobacco products. You can only buy food products with it. That means bread. That means eggs, meat.
Yeah. No, like Eric Bowler was saying, they were really dusting off those old-timey Republican, welfare queens and Cadillac stuff, weren't they?
Exactly. And I also want to add, in some markets, Chicago especially, they are now considering measures that will allow people who have food stamps to be able to go to farmers markets so they could get fresh fruit.
Which is awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this whole notion that people on food stamps are using it to buy booze, they could just jump off a cliff with that because it's not true.
Yep. Right. Thank you, Cordell.
Thank you very much.
Yes, majority of people are not black that are on food stamps.
Unfortunately, the cheapest food that you can get, and, you know, when you're on food stamps, you want to buy as much food as possible to stock up. The cheapest food is the worst food for you. It's the most processed.
Cheesy poofs.
Yeah, it's cheesy poofs. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's
why
it's not healthy stuff.
We're the first empire with fat poor people, but it's not because poor people are gluttonous. It's because there's no real food, and people can't afford real food. The McDonald's 99-cent menu is keeping families alive, but it's making families obese and making them sick.
Hey, speaking of obese people that make me sick, it's Newt Gingrich.
Under the elites, the people who oppose me, some in the Democratic Party, some in the Republican Party, under these elites, we've become the America that couldn't.
We're not opposing you. We're rooting for you, Newt.
Let's talk about elites with a $500,000 tab at Tiffany's with 9 Saul Alinsky references per packet, per paragraph.
Yeah.
That's what Newt is. And Newt also spent several years on pastry stamps.
I'm not sure how much the Herman Cain endorsement is going to help him, John. It seems like he already has the serial adulterer base nailed down, but Herman Cain endorsed Newt Gingrich Saturday.
I hereby officially and enthusiastically endorse Newt Gingrich for President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's great.
He said he knew what the sausage grinder of the presidential campaign was all about. Well, particularly when you can't keep your sausage, to yourself. It's going to get in the grinder. And then Mr. Gingrich was going through it now. He said, I am inspired. You are inspired. Herman Cain.
Some endorsements have little impact. Some endorsements have a big impact. We will see you on Tuesday. But my philosophy has always been the voters will decide. I just wanted my supporters to know how I felt at this moment in the process.
Yeah, at least Herman Cain's intellectually consistent.
Yeah, he defended him earlier this month, by the way, Gingrich was asked about the interview with his ex-wife. He said, I love Newt Gingrich's response because that's the same crap they pulled on me, and that's what's wrong with politics. Hey, this is what's turning the American people off. No, actually, specifically you.
You are turning off.
The same crap they pulled on me. You mean telling the truth about your behavior towards women?
About what a sleazeball you are. Exactly.
Wow.
They did the same thing to him and Herman Cain.
Speaker Gingrich is running for president and going through this sausage grinder.
Mm-hmm.
I know what this sausage grinder is all about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you do.
That's great. Maybe you'll help your grandkids find jobs cleaning the school bathroom as janitors.
On the moon.
You put your sausage on everybody else's pizza. That's
the
one there.
How disgusting!
You keep your sausage on the marital pizza. That's what you. All right, Andy in Baltimore, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I would like a reporter to ask Mitt Romney, who says that President Obama made the economy worse. how is it that he made $45 million in the first 2 years of the Obama administration?
Yeah, he seems to have...
And I'd like to know what he made in the last 2 years of the Bush administration. And I'd like to compare the two and see, really, did Obama make his economy and his ability to make money work?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Great point.
Good point. You're the smartest boy in class today, except for the Mughal saying.
Yeah, yeah, the 1%'s doing pretty good under Obama.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Just check when you look at the stock market, any indicator, there's no way to spin this president is bad for business. And you're right. Mitt Romney has yet to explain how would it have been better to let the American auto industry go bankrupt.
Right.
He still stands by that.
Higher taxes on wealthy individuals is good for business. If you don't believe me, look at the 50s, look at the 90s. When there's more money in the pockets of the working class, they go out and they spend things. I'm ready Obama just come out and say student loan jubilee, all student loans and credit card loans forgiven. If a president did something crazy like that and had a bailout of people, you know what would happen? Everyone's debt clock would set back to zero and they'd start buying stuff again.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. But, you know, I'm wondering, of all the lies Romney tells, did you see him say that, oh, my... blind trust, that's not really blind, but he talked about his those investments, they create jobs. What? How does having your money in a Swiss bank account or in the Cayman Islands create jobs for anybody?
It doesn't create any jobs in America.
And then he has no agency over it. It's like, I'm this incredible venture capitalist who's completely helpless over what happens with my own money.
Yeah, exactly. Which is it, exactly? Am I a smart businessman? Oh, but I made all this money. I didn't have anything to do with it. Exactly.
Yeah, it takes nothing away from it. You know, I respect that he gives so much money to charity. God bless him for it. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. But when you pay 14% of $22 million that you didn't work for, that you didn't work for a penny of it, you got it all on investments and interest, and you only pay 14% of that, and then you ask people who work for their money to pay 25%, 30% of their income, how can Fox News viewers not wake up to how obvious this is?
Yep, absolutely. Because they're Fox News viewers. But
then it's our duty to just go out, liberals, to all your Fox News watching neighbors and relatives, and don't criticize them. Just say, do you have a problem with a guy who makes $22 million for doing no work, only paying 14% taxes? And see what they say. Their own logic will bring them into the light.
Yep. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, as will John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Don't resist. It'll go better for you if you just submit. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie. Who are you calling? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau, filling in for the ailing Jim Ward, whose eyes hurt.
Well, frankly,
he also has a fever.
All right. 1-8, we wish him well.
Yes.
Hope to see him back tomorrow. Because as Chris and Yankton said, yes, that was the story, the Tom Brokaw story. Sean Brokaw, the ad, was saying that Newt had a long litany of ethical irregularities. That's
and he was despicable.
He was.
You're despicable.
Arnold in North Carolina on Newt as well. Hello, Arnold.
Hello, Mama. I'm going to put a little Barry White into that. Hello, Mama.
Hello.
Hey, listen. In the state of North Carolina, you know, what happened last couple weeks back in South Carolina, you know, all those dog whistles that were good over there in Iowa and New Hampshire had turned to loud sirens now that the Republicans and Fox News have gone crazy with this race to bigger stuff. You know, I noticed in my neighborhood a new walk, a new style, a new energy level going on because of that. And that day where there was a discouragement in 2010, there's a new, I think, a new energy level like it was in 2000.
Yep, I agree with you. I agree with you, Arnold. Yep, I agree.
You're very right.
And even John McCain was saying that, and he knows a little something about a landslide, don't he?
I am very worried. It is hurting now. It is. I know that President Obama's political team is now chortling and sitting back and enjoying this.
Yes, Grampy.
I love hearing the... I love hearing the right-wing media and our friends at Fox saying, all those black folks and kids who voted for the first time in 2008, they know Obama's a fraud. They're not going to show up. Now, I love hearing these guys, you know, wistfully speaking about this. Yeah. But quite frankly, we've talked about this on the show. When everybody who showed up to vote for the first time in 2008 and has kind of checked out since then, didn't show up in 2010, wait till they get a load of Mr. Romney. They are going to have more enthusiasm to vote for Obama the second time than the first.
And by the way, keep poking our base with a sharp stick. Yeah, keep it up.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Yeah. How much you want to bet, John? Someone on Fox News or somewhere will say, like, blacks are too lazy to vote. Something like that.
Yeah.
They're not even, like, bothering the dog whistles anymore. They're just, you know.
You know, I think because I had a very liberal dad, I mean, very socially conservative but politically liberal, that I grew up a bit insulated, and I didn't really realize how bad things were. You know, I never knew how sexist our society really was until I saw how Hillary Clinton was treated when Bill was president, and I never knew how just overwhelmingly racist we still were. I thought we're tribalists now. We've gotten beyond the ugly stuff. My God, the birtherism, if you're a birther, you're a racist, not necessarily a bigot. You don't have to hate black folks, but if you automatically believe that the president wasn't born here because you heard something in print or on the AM radio, you're a racist, and you're contributing to the whole power system. It's going to get worse and worse as the next couple of months go on, and it's going to be hilarious.
By the way, John, maybe the least shocking news of the weekend is it turns out Ron Paul did know something about what was in the Ron Paul newsletter.
Yeah,
he did? You mean someone from the newsletter has come forward finally to tell the truth?
Yes. Someone that worked there said he personally reviewed each issue. They write some close to Paul's operations that he was deeply involved in the company that produced the newsletters, Ron Paul and Associates, which produced the Ron Paul newsletter.
Right. With his name and picture on it.
Closely monitored its operations, signing off on articles and speaking to staff members virtually every day. It was his newsletter and it was under his name, so we always got to see the final product. He would proof it, said Renee Hathaway, a former secretary in Paul's company and supporter of the Texas Congressman. Boy, he would have won South Carolina if this had come out earlier.
Yeah, well, that's
the
thing, you know.
They discussed adding controversial material, including racial statements, to help the business, this person said. So,
and that's it.
I'm sure his camp has denied this, but, you know, it's just, I mean, who really believes that Ron Paul had no idea what was in the Ron Paul newsletter, right?
Well, that's the thing. I don't believe that Ron Paul is a racist, but I do believe that for a long time in the 90s, when he was trying to raise money for his cause, he directly appealed to racists for fundraising. David Duke did the same thing. When I met David Duke on the Bill Maher show, I offered him hot gay sex if he would stop, and my parents didn't talk to me for a week.
Oh, but God.
Right afterwards, David Duke went to jail on charges of felony tax fraud and felony mail fraud. It turned out he'd been embezzling the money his supporters sent him to finance his gambling addiction. So we don't even know if David Duke really means all this racist stuff. He was just trying to rack up cash. And I think Ron Paul is guilty of the same thing. Not necessarily a racist, but appealing to racists to open up their pocketbooks and help fund his movement.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Alan, the sexy liberal from San Jose, writes, hi, Steph, thanks for pointing out that not all supporters of Israel are right-wing asshats like Sheldon Adelson. Because this is what we were saying. There was a big article on these are the Adelsons are the ones that are largely bankrolling Newt Gingrich. But, you know, the only thing they want in return, bomb Iran.
Yep.
You could just bomb Iran on behalf of. And that's why Newt Gingrich, I was saying, was out calling, you know, Palestinians and invented people like sprites or fairies or leprechauns.
They're supporters. Exactly. Or Americans.
Yeah. They're supporters of far right policies in Israel, which is dangerous.
Yeah. There's a difference between friend of Israel, John, and a help me bury a dead hooker kind of friend. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we can, of course, and I'm glad I was able to be there for you that time, Steph.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're capable of supporting Israel while disagreeing with the policies of their civilian right-wing government.
Right.
It's really simple. And let's not forget, Bibi Netanyahu was dribbling all over Obama, all kissy face after last September when Obama went to the UN to argue against recognizing Palestinian statehood, which has been our official platform for decades now. George Bush supported Palestinian statehood. Clinton did. Obama does, but he still went there and argued against recognizing Palestine as a state, and Netanyahu was in love with him.
But I hope
there's someone in the DNC wise enough to show that footage a lot in the election year.
Right. But that's just yet, you know, exhibit 6,534, how far right this Republican Party is. They are
testify
to the right
white
of
BD
Netanyahu on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. 29 minutes. What?
What? Can I get a what?
What? 29 minutes after the hour.
So
holla back.
Wrong.
Holla. Back with John Finkelstein on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This girl made my knees weak, my palms sweaty, my butt leak. You ever felt that way, Francine?
You're what?
Ew. 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar.
We love ourselves in Solar World.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau filling in for Jim Ward, who is whose eyes hurt. And we wish his eyes and the rest of him well. He's not feeling well, apparently.
Poor Jim. Mm. Poor Jim. He's got to put up with this. Well, I'm very happy to be filling
thank
in.
Yes, thank you for filling in. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
I'm very glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, because it's Sexy Liberal Week. We're very excited. Off to Philadelphia this Saturday. Tickets going very fast. We just announced we added Betty, our favorite, my official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, to open for us. Rude Pundit will do panel with Hal and John and I. And I got to tell you, stuff is... going fast there. Phoenix already sold out. Yep. Chicago is very close to sell out March 3rd. And then after that, kids.
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
That's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque.
On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
Come on. Yeah. All right.
It's been so long since a sexy liberal show. I'm going into withdrawal. I'm sick.
We're
going
to explode with comedy after the Florida primary tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be great.
It's just, look at this. Sarah Palin went... eight dump on Facebook this weekend.
Yep.
Reagan would be ashamed of Stalin-esque GOP cannibal tactics. Mm-hmm. Ah, they're eating their own.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she threw out my dad's running mate's name, Barry Goldwater. Let me just say, Barry Goldwater would be spinning in his grave by being spoken by such a dope as Sarah Palin.
She just accused Bob Dole, Mitt Romney, and Chris Christie of being like Stalin for criticizing
Newt
Gingrich.
It's amazing.
And McCain!
Yeah. Yes! She came out swinging on her Facebook page, posting a doozy of a long note. Oh, dear God, is that a lot of word salad?
Yeah, it is.
Sorry,
vey with a schmear.
Now acknowledging the importance of vetting candidates, but arguing that Ronald Reagan and Barry Goldwater, the fathers of the modern conservative movement, would be ashamed of us in this primary. The attacks on Gingrich in Florida, she continued, were beyond the pale, unprecedented in GOP primaries. I've seen it before. Heck, I've lived it, but not in a GOP primary race. Oh, heck.
Oh. Lady blah blah.
She noted she'd been attacked similarly by Democrats, but was more vulnerable because she was an unknown entity. But Gingrich has been in the public eye for too long, and both the good and the bad is already known. She went on to argue Gingrich was a foot soldier in the Reagan Revolution at a time when conservatives didn't have Fox News or talk radio. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
The human appendix does more in a day than Sarah Palin.
Yeah,
and you know what? She's a coward because she doesn't even endorse Newt Gingrich. Todd endorsed Gingrich, but Sarah has not officially endorsed him, so she's still splitting her bets on this. She's a complete coward.
She concluded, what we saw with this ridiculous opposition dump on Newt was nothing short of a Stalin-esque rewriting of history. It was Alinsky tactics at their worst. Oh, she grabbed the Saul Alinsky away from Newt Gingrich.
That's the rare double Alinsky.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Judge gave her an 8 for that.
Yeah. Exactly. The Russian judge a little low, but everybody else. I mean, it really is incredible. I don't think I've ever seen it like this.
I've never seen someone trying so hard to not get a convention speech as well, because I don't know what exactly they're going to do after this brawl. How are Newt and Mitt going to play kissy face and unite for the party after we know how badly they hate each other? Because it all comes down to who gets a convention speech.
Right.
And Newt was doing pretty well. First, he was auditioning for higher public speaking fees, then he was auditioning for a convention speech, then it seemed like he really thought he could make this, and now I think he's just going to go around speaking the John Birch Society at gold shows for the rest of his career.
By the way, oh, here's another not really breaking news. Romney seems to flip-flop on something.
Oh, what?
Yeah, the
no,
day after being hammered on his immigration policy in the that one CNN debate, Romney seemed to back off a key piece of his proposal, or at least the rhetoric he used to describe it. Romney has called for making life so difficult. You know, the self-deporting. They'll just self-deport. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I did that in Catholic school once and got thrown out.
Yeah. But speaking at the Hispanic Leadership Network conference, he backed off that language. His softening may have to do with the fact that Representative Mario Diaz-Balart, who supports Romney, disapproved of the self-deportation rhetoric. Said it was, frankly, a bad choice of words. So Norm Coleman, who's, you know, the doofus former senator, he's a Romney guy now.
Senator Chiclet?
Yes. He said the candidate was not, I love, this is my favorite description of a flip-flop. He was not backing off his self-deportation policy, though he may be evolving the messaging on it.
What?
What? He's evolving the messaging.
Oh, Steph, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Seriously, does the self-deportation mean harass these poor people until they leave the country
yes.
in frustration? Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, that's exactly what he means.
Thanks,
all right.
Steph.
Mm-hmm. Hey, looky here, I have a... stack.
Okay.
And, and it goes a little something like this. Oh, wow, there's two of them. Hmm. North Carolina Republican lawmaker calls for bringing back public hangings, starting with abortion providers.
Oh.
Which is weird because abortion is, legal.
Illegal, right.
So
yep.
That seems to be a little... North Carolina Republican believes that as a country we've grown soft since banning public hangings and is calling for them to be reinstated as a deterrent to crime. If Representative Larry Pittman has his way, abortionists, rapists, and kidnappers would be first in line for the gallows.
I agree that all executions should be public and should be on TV.
Wow. Senator
yep.
Tom Coburn, actually, senator,
mm-hmm.
said in his 2004 campaign, I favor the death penalty for abortionists.
Well, here's the question that I want to see you Santorum ask, and all these candidates asked, who deserves a longer jail sentence, the rapist who impregnates a woman or the doctor who terminates the pregnancy? Because I really do want to know who they think deserves more time in jail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's part two.
Oh, mm-hmm. There's more.
Tennessee State Senator, oddly Republican.
Sure.
Falsely claims HIV came from the gay community, cites advice column from 1988 as evidence. Oh, why not an episode of Dynasty? That might be...
What? He cited Dear Abby as a...
Some advice column from 1988.
In
88? Yeah. Stacey Kempfield, Tennessee State Republican.
There's been research done since 1988.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he got this from GodHatesFags.com, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he sponsored the Tennessee's Don't Say Gay bill and once compared homosexuality to bestiality. Now has a theory about the spread of AIDS. He told the Huffington Post it's virtually impossible to spread HIV/AIDS through heterosexual sex. He went on to add that the lifespan for gays and lesbians is very short. Google it yourself. He cited his comments citing an advice column from 1988 and a Christian apologetics website.
So if they think that gays are evil because straights can't spread HIV, they must think lesbians are the master race.
Hey, I'm starting to like this guy.
But only the hot lesbians, John.
Well, exactly, of course.
Yeah.
Not so fun facts. Most women who have been infected with HIV were actually infected through heterosexual sex.
Yep.
In 2007, women made up more than 60% of adults living with HIV in sub-Saharan Africa, and the Global Council on Health reports the male-to-female transmission of HIV is twice as likely as the female-to-male transmission. Not to mention the fact that his claims that gays and lesbians have shorter lifespan have been debunked. All right.
Wow. And, of course, do whatever you can to keep condoms from going to southern Africa.
Yeah, exactly, because that's the Christian thing to do.
Shano in the chat room says lipstick lesbians are the master race.
Thank you.
Well, that could be true. And
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Yeah.
I thought that before I met Stephanie, but now it's pretty much
well, there you go.
Thank you. Tony in Los Angeles. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Mama. Hi. I think I got this Oedipus Rex thing going here. Every time I call you, I'm either in the tub or getting undressed or something like that.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Pray for me. Now, did you see McCain on Sunday? He viciously attacked the Supreme Court for Citizens United. I think he must be the first Republican ever to do that. And number two, he went hog wild after Newsweek for being part of the K Street Crips.
People
say the K Street Project.
This is getting to be some nasty gang warfare in the Republican Party today. My goodness. Julie in Tacoma. Hi, Julie.
Hi, staff.
Hi.
An AP story last week, a Republican state senator from Oklahoma City has introduced a bill that would ban the use of, ready, aborted human fetuses in food.
Yep. Oh, for what? God's
sake. I mean, he got this off the internet.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be true.
Okay.
Bye-bye,
sweetie. Wow, thank you. That's,
I don't understand
that's
any
the
of
third
that.
In the stack. Yes, John, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't understand any of what you just said.
It's, well, because it's a Republican legislator idea.
Yeah, because he read on the internet that abortion doctors were using aborted fetuses in food.
As a food.
Right. Well, that's sure. The new Sharia law.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what the entire Sharia law consists of.
Mm-hmm. Something that's not a threat, that's not happening, we have to get you scared about it.
How do you fight against complete and outright lies like that?
Here's a study that's going to make Fox News explode tonight. This will be my precognitive segment. What the Fox is tonight? Study suggests low IQ, social conservatism, and prejudice go hand in hand.
Sure.
Yep.
Or
I read
just
that.
Go to any Tea Party rally. Okay, a new study from Brock University in Ontario will be sure to spark a conversation. Psychologists have found that racism and general prejudice, as well as social conservatives, are linked to low IQ levels.
Mm-hmm.
According to Live Science, the research finds children with low intelligence more likely to hold prejudiced attitudes as adults. Low-intelligence adults tend to gravitate towards socially conservative ideologies. The study found those ideologies, in turn, stress hierarchy and resistance to change, attitudes that can contribute to prejudice, they wrote in livescience.com. Mm,
yeah, I mean, you know.
Fox News heads exploding.
Yeah. Pam Geller proves that.
Hello. Exhibit A.
A post-role of the educated racist?
Exhibit A, Atlas Jugs.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, it's worth pointing out, stupid and ignorant are not the same thing.
Yes. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Well, I get it, because Matthew Broderick is going to be in the Super Bowl as Ferris Bueller.
Yes.
I get it.
It's supposed to be.
Except probably it's an old man car that he's instead of a cool car.
I read online that it's supposed to be for Honda CRV.
That excites us old people.
Which is very different from a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen's still a druggie in the principal's office, though.
Well, I'm hoping they bring back the girl who played Sloan and the guy who played Cameron and all of those people.
Well,
awesome.
Ione Sky.
Yes. And I hope that his sister eventually gets married to Charlie Sheen.
Awesome. Okay.
Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey.
Super Bowl is this coming Sunday.
Yes.
When we are recovering from our Philadelphia hangover after Sexy Liberal.
Oh, you're going to be flying. Are you going to be able to watch
it? I'll get back in time. I got the time change working for me.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Chris and Craig in Chicago, pardon me, writes, John Fugelsang on a Monday equals awesome.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll come around more.
Yeah, please. Jim Ward
I'm so
is
so lonely.
Oh dear, we have yet another right-wing watchdog group. Miley Cyrus blasted by conservative group for disgusting, sleazy behavior.
Well,
The Culture and Media Institute, which aims to quote preserve and help restore America's culture, character, traditional values, morals against the assault of the liberal media elite, who I'm guessing are supporting Newt Gingrich.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Calling out the star for photos obtained by TMZ that show her posing suggestively with a penis-shaped cake at her boyfriend's birthday party.
Yeah.
You can't pose with a penis-shaped birthday cake. You know,
are they suggesting
what kind of country is this?
A teenage girl was acting like a teenager? Is that what they're saying?
It just kind of shows a lack of class on her part, but she's never been known for her class.
I mostly was thinking, where do you get a penis-shaped cake? Was that wrong?
At the erotic cake store.
Oh!
Yeah, anywhere in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Los Angeles has a store that's called Erotic Cakes.
Can I say something about Miley Cyrus that will shake the world? Miley Cyrus does a cover of Bob Dylan's You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go, and it's great.
Awesome.
She makes it a country song, and the reason why it's cool is it's for Amnesty International. They just released a new 50th anniversary of Amnesty Bob Dylan album. It's four discs with everybody that's ever lived, from Kris Kristofferson to Lenny Kravitz, all covering Bob Dylan songs, but it's all your money goes to Amnesty International for their 50th anniversary. And Miley Cyrus actually pulls off a Dylan cover.
Wow.
John Fugelsang, Former VJ.
Rock nerd, yes.
Yes, he's pretty, but he really knows music.
Yes.
And he's interviewed every Beatle.
And he's endorsing Miley Cyrus.
No, I never interviewed Ringo. I handed Ringo a glass of water once, but I never interviewed him.
Okay. Oh, all right. Okay, all the other ones. Hey, all speaking of penises, I don't know why, I just love this story. Thief steals 7 wooden penises and other props.
Oh!
Wow.
Props? That's what the kids are calling them now?
German police say a thief was in for a surprise after making off with a red plastic box from the back of a station wagon. Inside were 7 wooden penises of varying sizes.
Peni?
I don't know. 100 condoms and instructional materials for a sex education class. Don't you hate when you steal someone's box and it's full of wooden penises?
Boxes are often full of penises.
It's in a box.
Who makes wooden penises?
Oh no! You'd be surprised what they make penises out of. When we were at the Playboy studio,
yes.
Remember there was that assortment of rock,
things. Sure,
rock penises.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Why do they need rock penises when Hef's around? I don't understand anything anymore.
They were made out of marble.
Damn, that Kathy Griffin is stealing my act again. She has a new boyfriend. He's 18 years younger. That's my shtick. Well, you know, girl, but still.
Yeah.
All right. Good for her. Congrats.
Yes.
All right. Joe Biden admits that he advised President Obama not to carry out the bin Laden raid. He admitted he advised President Obama not to carry out the mission because we have to do more things to see if he's there. Biden praised the president for having a backbone like a ramrod.
Wow.
Huh. Wow.
That's smart of Biden.
Before giving a point-by-point recollection of everything that happened in the final day before Obama gave the SEAL team its orders, the president, he went around the table with all the senior people, including the chiefs of staff. He said, I have to make this decision. What's your opinion? He started with the National Security Advisor, Secretary of State. He ended with me. Every single person in the room hedged their bet, except Leon Panetta. Leon said, go. It got to me. I said, Mr. President, my suggestion is don't go. We have to do 2 more things to see if he's there. Biden said Obama left that night, promising to make a decision. Next morning, returned to the White House and made the order official. Biden credited Obama for understanding everything that was at stake when he gave the order. Blah, blah, blah. He said the guy doesn't lead from behind. He just leads, and that's clear.
Wow.
Every day, I respect Obama more for the wisdom of making Joe Biden his VP. The guy does the job so well. He goes out and says the things that the president can't boast about. And by Joe Biden playing the role of skeptic, it just makes Obama look stronger. It's such a smart White House in so many ways.
Yeah, and even people you wouldn't expect, John, I think have given the president props for that. That really was a gutsy call. You realize, like, he doesn't even trumpet stuff. Like, look at this Somali pirate thing, this latest thing that happened. Didn't even mention it in the State of the Union. Yeah. I mean, it's he just gets the job done.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And this is his second time going after Somali pirates as well. Of course, Gingrich and Romney will accuse him of being an anti-pirate elite.
Exactly. And here's another thing that's just new. It's humility. You know, they always call him arrogant. George W. Bush was arrogant. You remember the famous, they asked him, can you name a mistake? And he's like, oh, no, I really can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I can name about 50 just for starters. But Obama said to ABC News, I second-guess myself constantly. He acknowledged he's made mistakes during his presidency, but defended the steps his administration has taken to create jobs, improve the economy, etc. He said, I second-guess constantly. I make a mistake, every hour, every day. There's always things you're learning in the job. I have no doubt I'm a better president now than the day I took office because you get more experience. But when you look at the broad outlines of what we did, had it not been for the steps we took, our economy would be profoundly weaker than we are right now. So, he was responding to a question, someone asking what he's learned about himself and anything he wished he'd done different in the first 3 years. And it's just new, isn't it, John? Like a thoughtful president that actually has the humility to go, maybe I did that wrong and I learned here. And
I admire humility and I am so awesome at it myself.
Thank you. The auto industry, which has now created 160,000 jobs and sees GM as the number one automaker in the world, that didn't happen by accident, he said. We had a little something to do with it to help that industry restructure and save about 1 million jobs. That would have had ripple effects all across the country. The Recovery Act, what Republicans referred to as the stimulus. Most economists, almost every economist will tell you, had we not put that in place, we could have tipped into the Great Depression. So, I think he has a great balance between taking credit for things that are demonstrably true and it was still being thoughtful and not just arrogant like George Bush was.
He's the president who saved capitalism from itself. George Bush let capitalism... George Bush gave capitalism a credit card with no limit. Obama is the guy who showed up and helped them pay the bill down.
Yep.
Because he hates business.
Here's another... Chris? It's just once a Monday especially. I just need to do a story that makes me, feel better.
Yep.
particularly about, well, my decision not to have children. John, and you're, you know, expecting, so, you know, I'm just saying, it's, you just get ready. A four-year-old,
yeah, rub it in, Steph.
A four-year-old U.S. boy who announced to his teacher at school snack time that he wanted to share pulled 9 bags of marijuana out of his jacket pocket.
Oh.
Police said, damn kids stealing your weed, trying to sell it at school. Police said man. 9 individually wrapped bags of marijuana appeared prepared for sale. You know?
Yep. That's why I'm only telling my kids it's pot when it's really oregano, so I'll get off. It just makes sense. You keep some catnip in a little bag and say, that's the pot. Then when he brings it to school, you know, you have an out. My dad taught me this.
Yes, thanks. All right, well, pass it
I'm
on.
I'm here to help, Steph. Here to help.
Baby, sexyliberal.com is a website. Sexyliberal on webs, on the on Facebook. Yep. JohnFugelsang.com is his website. Thank
thanks,
you, honey.
Steph.
We'll see you
Saturday. I'll be on Starting Point with Soledad O'Brien promoting Philly on Thursday and Friday.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Watch for that.
See you in Philadelphia Saturday, Sexy Liberal.
Peace.
Bye, honey. Bye. Peace out. All right, see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.